I recommend the high-risk protocol with hydroxychloroquine for pregnant women for prevention and for treatment if need be. The reason why I say that is that hydroxychloroquine has been used for 65 years in pregnant women with no negative effects. Hydroxychloroquine has been used for malaria prophylaxis, and rheumatological diseases like lupus and rheumatoid arthritis in pregnancy with no problems. We also give it to children for the same conditions and also for nursing mothers. So it's well tested and vetted in pregnancy. So for that reason, I recommend hydroxychloroquine more than ivermectin and even quercetin, just because there's more data associated and we know the safety profile of hydroxychloroquine in pregnancy. So anyone who's pregnant, I would put them on a zinc, vitamin D, and vitamin C daily regimen, and then for once a week, hydroxychloroquine for prevention. And if they do get sick, I start them with the twice a day hydroxychloroquine for 5 days, and the antibiotic azithromycin, which is class B, which is also safe in pregnancy, together with zinc and vitamin C and vitamin D. And all the pregnant women do well. According to the numbers that we've seen, the preliminary numbers from, it was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, that women that got vaccinated in the first trimester, their miscarriage rate went up from 10% to 82%. Miscarriage rate went up from 10% to 82%. That's preliminary data. Another way of saying it, out of 100 women who are pregnant in the first trimester, 10 would naturally miscarry. That's the global average. And now 82 miscarry out of 100. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So if you want to kill your baby, you should get vaccinated in the first trimester. There's very good odds that you'll do that. And the reason why is very simple. The baby lives in the amniotic sac. The amniotic sac is within the uterus and the placenta. Placenta is attached to the uterine wall, and it gets its vitality from little capillaries, little blood vessels that attach to the uterine wall. They're very small diameter vessels, but there's a lot of them, and they then take out of the maternal circulation, the maternal blood, sugar and oxygen and nutrients and everything that you need. And then it gets transferred into the umbilical cord for the baby. Now, so the blood supply is very important. One of the main problems in the first 3 months of after vaccination is micro blood clots. So what happens is the placenta gets these a large percentage of the capillaries that attach the placenta to the uterine wall get destroyed with blood clots. So you're severely limiting the blood flow and nutrition to the infant and oxygen, so to the embryo. So, you know, it's really counterindicated. And the OBs that are doing it are just like following orders. That sounds familiar. Just following orders. Except they don't probably give it to their daughters or daughter-in-laws or wives. But for other people, they just follow orders. So my advice is don't listen to them at all. .95%, even more, of people that get COVID are just okay. Nothing's 100%. My answer is that, first of all, Pfizer has failed to prove consistency per batch of vaccines. In other words, usually before approval, there is multiple testing to show that there's no variability in the actual injections, and that has not been proven. So to the best, it's very possible that there's a tremendous amount of variability to what people are getting, from placebo to toxic dosing and so on. So there's been no comprehensive studies or documentation to show consistency. So that could explain why we're seeing a full spectrum of different effects. But even if it was the same, every person is different. Every person's immune system is different. And there is a tremendous amount of variability in terms of potential reaction. We don't look per individual, we look at statistics overall.
Yeah.
And if you look at the VAERS data system, database, in the last year and a half, there have been more deaths reported with the association with the Pfizer or the COVID-19 vaccines than for the last, VAERS started in 1990. From 1990 to 2000, if you add all the deaths that that system had actually reported, it's less than half of what we've already seen. Oh, and even something else is very interesting. And there was a in October of 2020, the FDA and the CDC made internal presentations to its own employees about the potential side effects of these vaccines. And if you look at the slide, which I have, I put in my Telegram also, it lists all these different side effects, mostly neurologic. And you cross-reference that to VAERS, it's exactly what we're seeing. What I'm trying to tell you is that what is being manifest and reported by the public is exactly what the CDC and FDA reported internally would happen. So there's a course of action that is not in your best interest. It's not in the, there's no medical necessity for what's being done. I think that the people that are involved in this are actively engaged in policies of eugenics, policies of population control and mass murder. If you look throughout history, and I have documentation to this, there have been very prominent voices that have advocated for the reduction of the population, from Bill Gates to Prince Philip to Ted Turner to all these different psychopaths that are on record, on video, screaming that we need to reduce the world population because it's going to kill us all. 18 months ago, now it's very easy to believe. And anyone who's still having doubts, stop being an idiot and stop being stupid. Because your stupidity is going to lead to your destruction. It's time to wake up. Grow up. Again, I'm going to be a little bit more harsh on these people because they have to take personal responsibility for their actions. Basically, most people in Israel are descendants of those people that were able to, with God's grace, avoid the gas chamber or the crematorium. Okay, stop being an idiot. Go back 80 years. Listen to the stories. If your grandparents are still alive or a parent, listen to the stories of what they lived through. Go to Yad Vashem. Go take a look how they used to make lampshades out of your grandmother's skin. And understand that there is a philosophy of malevolence and evil that wants to destroy you. It's not a new thing. Okay, it's only 80 years ago where 6 million of our people were slaughtered. You know what the most painful thing is? That the people that are doing it now are our own people to our own people.
Yeah.
And because Jews in general are merciful, that's one of the characteristics of the Jewish people, Rachmanos. And because we tend to look at people in a forgiving and gentle way, it makes it very difficult to spot and recognize in a timely fashion despotic, tyrannical actions. But I don't have that problem. I look at the world through Stalin's eyes. Not that I like Stalin, but I think it gives me a early warning system to recognize evil. So when Stalin gave an order to build a canal from Moscow to another city in the early 30s, this is Alexander Solzhenitsyn writes this in his book called Gulag Archipelago, won a Nobel Prize for it. He survived Stalin's gulags. So he writes that 400,000 prisoners died in building this canal, and when the canal was finished, it was too shallow, not one boat ever used it. And the bodies of these people were entombed in the cement of this canal. So the question was, why was this canal ever built if not one boat ever used it? So the answer was that 400,000 people would die. So personally ready to die in order that my children should live. And if you look throughout, let's say, in the Holocaust, it was only one German with a machine gun and a German shepherd that can herd or corral 1,000 Jews into a gas chamber. Now, what if, just practically speaking, if those Jews would just turn around and trample the German? So maybe in the, around the perimeter, 5 or 10 would have been killed. I know. But the rest would have lived. And this complicity, this sheep mentality, is the source of our own self-destruction. All it would take is a little bit of courage and a little bit of enlightenment, and just to say to the government, no, we're not going to take your poison death shot. Stop feeding us your lies. You go take it. Give it to your own kids. Leave us alone. What are they going to do? Arrest everyone? They're going to what? Kick everyone out of work? Everyone out of school? Not going to let anyone travel? It's the fact that, you know, there's a saying, all evil needs is for good people to do nothing. It's the fact that we have good people that are just quiet little sheep that are afraid to stick their heads out and to do anything. Can you imagine if an entire neighborhood, Ramat Gan, just woke up and said, F you, you government, and we're not going to listen to you. Go to hell. World War II began in 1933. And it's not with Hitler coming into power. It was when Japan invaded Manchuria, China, and the whole world did nothing. And Hitler saw in 1933 that the world has no balls, that the world has no courage, and that gave him the green light to build up his military and to then annex Czechoslovakia or Yugoslavia, or I forget what. But and no one did anything, and they appeased him until he waged a global war. The difference between Australia and America right now is that in America, we have 450 million guns in the hands of private citizens. So if someone would come to the average American, to their house, and try to force them to take the shot, they would get a different shot. They would get a shot of bullet in their head. Because 450 million Americans are in possession of weapons that the Constitution of the United States allows them to have for this very reason. The Second Amendment wasn't about self-protection. The Second Amendment was about when you have a tyrannical government that comes to enslave you, that you can stand up for yourself. In Australia, they confiscated all the guns. Now they're building concentration camps. They're building quarantine facilities. And they're putting ankle bracelets on people who refuse to get vaccinated.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
So what we're seeing, and Australia is Manchuria, China, by way of analogy. Australia is the test case to see, and all these despots, Klaus Schwab and Soros and all these Gates and all these monsters, biblical monsters, the embodied primordial serpent, are watching. What is going to happen in Australia? What's going to happen in countries like Israel with the sheep? Are they going to be quiet or are they going to wake up? Because you know what? They're afraid. They're afraid of a popular uprising. The enemies of humanity fear humanity. And their weapon is fear and ignorance. In other words, keep humanity ignorant and afraid, and then we can control them. One Nazi with a German shepherd can control 1,000 people. However, if those people wake up and say no, then they can't control us.
Yeah, that's, you know, why, just
that's
one
why
word.
The media, the social media, and the mainstream media is such a instrument of death. And all you sheep that are just sitting there and listening to it and buying the bullshit, and buying the lies, the paganism, the idol worship, the child sacrifice, the throwing yourself into a slave fear, isolated mentality, you're causing your own death and the death of your neighbors. So wake up. Anger is an understatement. When I see the slaughter of innocent people, we're coming up to Rosh Hashanah. You know what? I don't know how much time I have left, okay? You know I was diagnosed with recurrent cancer. I'm starting crazy treatments. Who knows what's going to happen? So, yeah, I'm angry. I'm not angry at God. I'm not angry at myself. I'm angry at the fact that people that I care about are being enslaved by tyrants. The blood clots from corona happen if you mistreat corona. The blood clots of coronavirus infection, I'm being very specific, is when the infection gets out of control and your body's immune system reacts. Corona is two diseases. It's the first week of viral load infection. And then your immune system wakes up and kills you. So it's the immune system, actually, the immune reaction, the immune response that leads to the blood clots and the lung damage. So the key in infection is to get rid of the infection before the complications, before the inflammatory component starts. Antiviral early treatment. Okay, that is, now, if you miss the boat, then it still doesn't mean you have to die. So part of the treatment then is not only antiviral drugs, but anti-inflammatory drugs like steroids and anticoagulant drugs like aspirin, or I would even advocate for stronger things like Eliquis or Lovenox, depending on the, now, that's the infection part. The vaccine leads to blood clots from the second you inject, from moment ground zero, from moment of injection to around 3 months. A person's in danger of blood clots because the body becomes a spike-producing factory. Tens of trillions of spikes are produced. They go into the blood vessels, causing blood clots. The key then is, if you made that mistake, take anticoagulation immediately. So aspirin, there's something called NAC, N-acetylcysteine, which is anticoagulant as well, both are over-the-counter. However, if you have the option and it's safe for you, I would take prescription anticoagulants like Eliquis. Okay. Then what are they taking? Because it's a broad question. If it's a 65-year-old, he should not be on my over-the-counter option. He should be right away on hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. Right. However, treatment, first of all, make sure they're in the right dosing. But I would also add steroids. Again, if you can get hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, that's much better. But if you can't, so then I would give them steroids, which you could get in Israel, either prednisone or dexamethasone. And I would also use drugs like colchicine and fluoxamine. If you can get monoclonal antibodies, blood thinners, you know, it's an art, brains and balls. And I'll teach them the more advanced nuances of COVID management, and then people in Israel could hopefully consult with them. You should be, take, please get into your house quercetin. It's a derivative of apples. If you have any problem, you know, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Take some apples, but buy a prescription, but over the counter dosing of quercetin, EGCG, which is a green tea extract. Everyone should have zinc, vitamin D and vitamin C. And if you can get NAC, N-acetylcysteine. Again, that's all over the counter, and also have aspirin. Okay, and if you're in moderate to high risk, just start taking every day. I'll even tell you the dosing, so people should write down right now. I'm going to say it slowly. Quercetin, 500 milligrams a day. Or, not both, but or EGCG, 400 milligrams a day. That's the zinc ionophore. That's the gun. Zinc, and this is for prevention. Zinc, 25 milligrams a day. There's a whole bunch of different zincs. I don't care which one. Vitamin C, around 1,000 milligrams a day. Vitamin D3, 5,000 units, international units a day. Okay? That is your standard, think of it as your breakfast. You should be taking this stuff. It would really reduce the risk of you getting COVID and the severity of COVID. Now, if you do get sick, chas v'shalom, then triple the dosing. What's going on? It's important because if you understand, you can then have strategies. Things will make sense to you. It's not blind faith. Antibody-dependent enhancement basically means the following. The shot that you took generated antibodies. Those antibodies are bad for you. It's counterintuitive. You would think they're good for you, but they're not. The evidence is showing the opposite. And those antibodies are bombs. Now, just because you have a bomb doesn't mean it has to blow up. Usually a bomb has a detonator or a trigger. So if you understand what the trigger is, then you can have a strategy to avoid it. A trigger for the bomb that you have inside you is a... Are you there? The trigger for the bomb is a viral infection that is similar enough to the antibody that the antibody recognizes the virus and attacks it. So then what happens is you have an abnormal immune reaction that ends up killing the person. So the key is not to get a viral infection that's similar to it, not to get another COVID. So how do you do that? So first of all, everything's about risk stratification. A 10-year-old naturally has no risk. A 10-year-old will survive COVID just fine. However, if the 10-year-old got an injection, that 10-year-old just grew up and became a 99-year-old nursing home resident with the risk of a 99-year-old nursing home resident for death from ADE. So then that 10-year-old now has to be prophylaxed with the same. Are you having an earthquake? The world is shaking. So not much better. So that 10-year-old has to be treated as if he's a high-risk, ultra-high-risk patient and prophylaxed aggressively. Prophylaxed meaning that you should not get any viral infection. And the way to do that is not to give you another shot and create more bombs. That's pretty stupid. What you need to do, don't take a third or fourth or fifth booster. No. By the way, you know what the enemies of humanity are doing already? They're saying the following. If you only had two shots and you get COVID, it's because you're not vaccinated, because you didn't take a third shot. Yeah. And in reality, it's because you have two shots that you're more likely to get COVID. The data from Tel Aviv, University of Tel Aviv, shows that people vaccinated with Pfizer are more likely to get the South African variant of COVID. Or you see countries that are fully vaccinated having huge Delta variant outbreaks. The CDC director, Walensky, whatever her name is, lost Jewish girl, but what she's saying is that anyone, these are her words, after analysis of the Israeli data, anyone who was vaccinated early against COVID is more likely to end up in the ICU very sick. Therefore, you should take another shot. So don't take any more, don't create any more bombs, and start taking antiviral drugs so that if that virus comes to you, your immune system together with the prophylaxis will kick it away, go away, and you won't set off your bombs.
So for how long do you recommend to take the prevention for people who got injected?
You're challenging me on a question that's hard to know because we don't know how long these antibodies are going to last. You know, in some cases, antibody vaccine-induced antibodies last their whole life. In other cases, they fade over time. It seems the Pfizer antibodies fade over time, which in this context is a good thing because then the risk will fade over time. But at this point, I can't tell you that. And I would say take it for the next few years, and by then we'll figure out really how long you need to take it. And maybe we'll have even better approaches and treatments, but at least you'll survive. My concern is your survival in the next 3 years. So let's get you to that point. Let's protect your lungs. Because of Bibi Netanyahu and Naftali Bennett, your parliament, and the fact that they let Pfizer commit crimes against humanity and human experimentation, which violated the Geneva Convention. And the fact that you are now being governed by a reincarnation, a Gilgul, of Joseph Mengele on steroids. The fact that your own government that you've elected, that you have democratically elected and put your confidence in, is literally killing you from within. And before you ask me about ADE, which is a longer term, from 3 months to 3 years concern, now you're asking me from the moment of injection to 3 months, because that's when the blood clots are happening, what prophylactic measure you should take. And the answer to that is aspirin and NAC. You want to take anticoagulation to prevent that unfortunate, dangerous blood clot. Israel now is being run by Nazis. And just like in Nazi Germany, it was the medical establishment that led eugenics and led this Jews are sources of infection and disease and dirty and so on. What happened is it was the use of medicine as a tool that led to tyranny. And it's no different now. Israel is being run by Nazis.
I agree that
Israel is under attack by the Sultan coming in the lavush of Jews. And I'm sorry, but the Israeli government does not represent God and does not represent the Jewish people. They represent socialist principles built on the secular values. And so the Israeli government is not a accurate or trustworthy protector of the Jewish people. What is an accurate protector of the Jewish people are Jewish values expressed in the Torah, which is basically that there is one God, that you should not commit murder, you should not steal, you shouldn't commit adultery, you shouldn't be jealous of others, you should honor your parents, you should keep the Sabbath, you shouldn't worship idols. Those are all very good principles. You know, treat yourself like Bibi Netanyahu would treat his kids, which is an early prophylaxis. I know this for a fact. I'm sorry. I was in contact with these people in the very beginning. They know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly the double standards. If you're Minister of Health in Israel, Litzman, back then, called me for treatment, or I know people are denying this, but I don't care. Reb Chaim Kanevsky, yeah, the Godel Ador. So his gabbai, I think his name was Menachem Havlin. I'm giving you this name on purpose because people are denying it. Called me and was referred to me to guide his treatment when he got COVID, even though people are saying he's telling everyone to take the vaccine. Okay, but my point is that there are enough people in Israel that know the truth, that for themselves will have one standard of care, but for others, recommend different things. So stop, don't take the vaccine. Do not take the vaccine. Reject the vaccine. Do not take it. It's a poison death shot. Don't listen to your government. Your government is a Nazi institution. Stay away from them. Protect the people you love. Protect yourself. Respect your life. Your life has sanctity. You're made in the image of God. Rosh Hashanah is coming. Beg to be inscribed in the book of life and health. Let's appoint God as our king. I'm a globalist. Yeah, I'm a real globalist. Hashem is the king of kings, and he should have global dominion over the world. And I really do believe in the great reset. We should reset from the paganism and the idolatry and the false worship of fear and sociopathic oligarchs and corrupt governments, and bow down to the Creator. He loves you. He makes you all the time. You'll get much better outcomes. It's really prophylactic if you trust in God. It's much better. It's much better than Bennett or Bibi or your Ministry of Health. To be practical, I'd like you to extract as much information out of me while I can still think and speak. I'm about to start some very complex, potentially toxic and dangerous treatments. And I trust in God. I have zero fear. And by the way, I'm not so afraid of going to the next world either. But not that I'm rushing there, but it's out of my control. But my advice to you is use me up while you still can.